Lord has just been dealing with me on choice. And so this Bible study, I've named it Freedom of Choice, a Matter of the Heart. And, So we know Jesus died to atone for our sins. We know that he did that. We know that he died to set us free. We know that he died to redeem us. But he also died and he gave us choice. And this, to me, is a very expensive gift. We have been made in his image. And so he chose not to have jurisdiction, not to have any authority or control in our ability to choose. We know that love requires us to willingly choose. If somebody makes you love them or controls you, that's not winning, that's not love. And so he stepped back and he said, I'm going to give you this ability to choose. And from the very beginning, Adam and Eve had that choice. And of course, we know what happened. They chose, made the wrong choice, amen. And we know the consequences of what happened because of that, that sin entered into the world. And because of that, when we were born, we also inherited that sin nature. And so we know that our choices have consequences. But God has chosen to step back and to give us the authority to choose. Amen. Now, I don't want you to take this lightly because we live in a country where we have freedom of choice. There are places in the Middle East where they don't have the same human rights freedoms that we have. Places like Syria, Venezuela, Iran, Libya, Iraq, Egypt. They don't have the same human rights that we enjoy on a daily basis. Those are violated. They don't have the freedom that we have. And on a daily basis, adultery is committed, apostasy, robbery, rebellion, and nothing is thought of it. In fact, places such as Afghan, women could be flogged or doused with acid for wearing a skirt. Yeah. If they chose not to wear the burqas, and you know what the burqas are, where you're covered from head to toe, and you know they don't have the freedom to dress the way they want to dress. They don't have the freedom to make the choices that we enjoy every single day. And so I wanted to just touch on this, and I wanted to just bring our attention to what the value of this is that we have. Personal freedom is defined as an individual's freedom of opinion and expression. It is equality before the courts. It is security of private property. It's the freedom to come and go as you please. And for example, the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights in the United States Constitution lists several personal freedoms and that are guaranteed to U.S. citizens. We don't have to seek the government's approval if we want to choose to take a vacation overseas. We don't have to, you know, worry about somebody stalking us or telling us we can't do that. And so that's one of the freedoms that we enjoy. The Fifth Amendment guarantees the right to a grand jury. It forbids double jeopardy, and that means that it protects us against self-incrimination. It's supposed to guarantee that no person can be convicted twice. You know, people plead the Fifth Amendment when they want to be saved, and you have that right. Economic freedom is also known as economic liberty, and that consists again of personal choice, voluntary exchange, freedom to compete in markets, to start your own business. You know, anyone have an idea, and you're free to fulfill that dream. That, you know, America is called, you know, the land of the dreams. You can do that. There's nothing stopping you from pursuing a dream that has been placed on your heart. I know there's some business owners in here. Sister Johnny has her own business, and there's some, you know, God placed that vision in her heart, and she went after it. And with God's help, she is a thriving daycare center right now, and God has blessed that. Well, in some countries, they can't do that. So the top 10 countries in the world that enjoy freedom are New Zealand, Switzerland, Hong Kong. It has China down here, but I don't know if they enjoy the freedoms that we have. Denmark, Australia, Canada, Ireland, of course, the UK, where I'm from. They enjoy all the human rights and the freedoms that we have. In America, we enjoy these freedoms, and in the Western world, we enjoy these freedoms. But it's not only something that we expect. It's something that sometimes is demanded, and I think it's something that's sometimes abused. Freedom of choice means that the person is able to choose his or her own course of action and is able to choose a pattern of living, but this shouldn't be at the expense of others. And we have seen some pretty ugly behaviors over the past couple of years where people have expressed their opinions and you know, things have just plainly got out of hand, I would say. So I wanted to just say that the God of this universe, and I'll use my slide here, the God of this universe, who created everything, who created heaven and everything that we see, who commands the wind and the waves, has chosen to step back and to give us freedom of choice. America, as I've been talking about, was founded, of course, in 1776. Yeah. I learned English history. I didn't, and in fact, the English history books kind of portrayed the independence of America in a very different way. You guys were the bad guys. That's what we learned, okay? And so, but when, since coming here and reading your books, I've learned it from a different angle. But, you know, you guys broke away and had now celebrate Independence Day every year. And this is one of the highest, most universal values that we could ever have is freedom. And as you see in my picture here, the Statue of Liberty plainly greets visitors from the New York Harbor. When you come enter into the harbor at New York, you see the Statue of Liberty there. And then the national bird is the eagle. And the reason that is because it is an eagle soars heavenward and actually facilitates what freedom is. It's on the Great Seal of the United States. It's on our coins. And so the eagle is a symbol of the freedom that America enjoys. And then I found out that the Liberty Bell, which is also up there, is inscribed with words taken from Leviticus 25 and 10. Did you know that? Yeah. And it says on the Liberty Bell, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Now, you and me know it hasn't always been that way. Yeah, we won't go into that. But in spite of those proclaimed ideals, we've seen some of the cruelest and most inhumane behavior exhibited in America, in spite of these ideals that have been proclaimed, which tells me that as long as there's human government, we'll never achieve that. Only Jesus Christ, a life in him, can give us true liberty, can give us the right motives for what we do. And so I just wanted to touch on that tonight. In the State of the Union Address in Congress in 1941, President Franklin D. Roosevelt expressed concisely what our motives should be when it comes to guiding America's action on the global stage. And America's been very good at stabilizing different places where there has been injustice. But he expressed four different things. He said the freedom of speech and expression. We should have the freedom to worship as we want, the freedom from want or lack, and the freedom from fear. Well, they haven't been achieved, have they? And I don't know if they ever will be achieved. People display the most heartfelt anger when they feel that their freedoms are threatened. And of course, we remember January the 6th and what happened there. I remember we were traveling and we were in the airport and looking on the great big screens as to what was happening. But these people passionately felt that they were right and that they, you know, were standing up for what they believed. But look at the chaos that it brought about. Some lives were lost. And some very ugly things happened on that day. So I'm saying to you, and as we all know, I'm preaching to the choir, trusting in Jesus and giving him control, giving him back dominion of that freedom of choice is the only true liberation that we can experience. It's the best freedom that you could ever, ever experience and have. Because we know that he is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Human government has never succeeded because men's motives are impure. So, what exactly is choice? The definition of choice is the act of selecting and preferring one thing over another or a group of possibilities. And so, when we make the choice to serve the Lord, we are literally telling him, Lord, you are the best. You are the best thing that I could ever choose. He gave us the ability to choose to pick out, to select someone or something as being the best or most appropriate of two or more alternatives. In order to choose correctly, and of course we know what happened, I said, with Adam and Eve. I'll go through that in just a minute. But in order to choose correctly, we need to educate ourselves on every possibility. Even then, without God's guidance, we are doomed to failure. Psalms 127 and 1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." So it is important how and what we choose, and we ask him to be our GPS. As long as we're listening, trusting, obeying his word, we will receive the guidance of the Holy Ghost. Psalms 32 and 8 says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." I don't know why we doubt sometimes, you know, and why we question God, but I just want to encourage you tonight to know that once you put your trust in the Lord, you can know. He might not move in your timing. He might not come when you want him to, but you know that he's going to work all things together for your good. Choices have consequences. It's okay if you pick a dress or a pair of shoes, you know, don't like it, and choose to take it back, and you can get something else. But there's some choices, like I said before, that have consequences. Consequences that affect you for the rest of your life. I can remember just an example, and this didn't affect me the rest of my life, but it was, I was coming home from camp. I had taken the kids to camp, to church camp. We were living in Michigan, and had a van load of kids. They packed up their belongings, and we were heading home. It was about a, should have been about a 90-minute, one-and-a-half-minute drive. And it was dark, and lo and behold, the kids were laughing and playing, and I was distracted. Took the wrong road. Ended up 3 o'clock in the morning in Lansing. I drove all night because I took one wrong turn. Of course, you bet they ribbed me. Oh, my gosh. You know, they let me know, you know. But I said, hey, can you come and drive then, you know. But that's just a small example of just taking a wrong turn, how it can lead you in a place where you don't want it, you didn't intend to end up. You know, the Bible says that sin will take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. Amen? And so it's so important, every choice on a day-to-day basis, that we seek him and acknowledge him in everything that we do. We know that we can trust the Lord. We know that we can trust the word of God. Matthew 5 and 18 says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." We know that his word is true, that heaven and earth will pass away before his word fails. James 1 and 17 says, "With whom," talking about God, "there is no variableness, no flip-flopping, neither shadow of turning. He's not flaky, he never deviates. His standards, they're non-negotiable. His righteousness is immovable. He is the perfect judge. He is fair, he is just, he is consistent." Why wouldn't we put our trust in the Lord? Why wouldn't we choose God? We serve a God who knows the end from the beginning. Isaiah 46 and 9 and 10 says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Okay. We can trust his word. He is his word. John 1 and 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So we know when he gives a word, you can stand on it. You can take it to the bank, as they say. Amen? Our choices are of the utmost importance to God. And that's why he's continually wooing us. He knows our beginning, he knows our end. Jeremiah 29 and 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." He said, the Lord, "thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." If you're going through something that doesn't look good right now, just know God's thoughts towards you, his plans for you are good. He knows what you need. His thoughts are of peace and not of evil. Ephesians 1 and 4 says, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Now, I just want to go on talking about the Old Testament temple. Now, that's on the screen. Look at that magnificent temple. And embossed in gold and every expensive cedar wood. And in the Old Testament, that's where the Lord allowed David to build, Solomon to build that temple. And he said, I will dwell there. Amen. And I look at that temple and I look at me, because it says, I don't see if I can get to that, but it says that I am the temple of the Holy Ghost now. Psalms 8 and 3 says, because I'm just amazed at how the Almighty God of this universe will choose to dwell in us. Psalms 8 and 3 says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy hands, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? The tabernacle David built in the Old Testament was, like I said, decorated with silver and gold. It was billions and billions and thousands of tons of gold. And yet now he's chosen you and me to dwell in. Amen. And that never ceases to blow my mind. Amen. Yes. And so Colossians 1:16 says, for by him are all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. We were created for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He chose to dwell in you and me. We are now his temple. We are his chosen vessels. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And you get the Holy Ghost. He has chosen to dwell. The Almighty God of the universe has chosen to dwell. And now I'm sorry. It just makes me, when I pray in the morning and I think of that, it never ceases to blow my mind. As Pastor Austin says, you know who you are. You know what you are. You know your flaws and your weaknesses. And yet he's chosen to abide and dwell in you. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Amen. That once you're in Christ, no one can pluck you out of his hand except for you. Amen. And I just want to just dwell on that for a little bit. What are we going to do with this expensive gift of choice? God, the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth, has chosen you, and now he's asking, will you choose me? Amen? That's what he's asking. And I know every one of you in here have made that choice. That was the best day of my life. Amen? When we said, Lord, I make you Lord of my life. I choose you. So Jesus is saying to those, if there's anyone watching today, he's saying, will you select me as the best, the most appropriate of all alternatives for your life? As I said to you before, when we choose, that's what we're saying. We're saying, you're the best. You're the best alternative for my life. Amen. So what does that mean? It means I choose to admit that my way of doing things isn't the best. It means that I'm going to keep his commandments to show my love for him. It means that I now live in my life, Proverbs 3:5-6, and it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. That means I turn my heart, my body, my mind, my soul in his direction. I put blinders on when it comes to trusting in his word. If I hear another word, I'm saying, nope, I'm going to stand on your word, Lord. I don't lean to my own logic. I don't lean on my own understanding. I don't lean on what I can see or feel. I'm going to trust in his word. I'm going to, like you've seen those horses that have blinders on, they're looking straight ahead. Amen. And Minister Chris kind of touched on that. Wisdom in James 1, and he said, sometimes we hear a word and we're so ready to deviate from it. We don't wait to see it come to fruition. James 1:7-6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Sometimes you wonder why you don't receive anything. It's because we're wavering. We're wavering. We're not realizing that. And as I said before, that God is the word. His word cannot fail. Amen. When I seek his face, I'm going to seek it until I get an answer. Is it going to be yes all the time? No. Sometimes it might be, hold up, wait. Sometimes it might be no. But if my trust is completely in him, I am going to, it's okay with me. Amen. So once I know that I've heard from the Lord, I am going to stand on that word. I am going to stand fast. I'm not going to waver. I'm going to wait till I see it come to pass. Isaiah 30 and 21 says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand or when you turn to the left. Amen. This means I fully trust in him for his righteousness. I cease trying to work things out on my own. And, you know, when Jesus does come back, and I really just realized this a few years ago, and maybe you realized it, that when God comes back, when Jesus comes back to judge this earth, it's not going to be based upon just the wicked works that have been done. It's going to be based upon that people rejected him. They rejected him, the only solution. They rejected the only solution that would pay for their sins. And that's what they're going to be judged on. And so with this expensive gift of choice, God said, I'm going to allow you to reject me. And so I just wanted to touch on what rejection is. Amen. He said, I'm going to allow you to reject me. With this ability to choose. Rejection is saying to a person or a thing, dismissing it as failing to meet the standards or satisfy their tastes. When you reject Christ, you're saying, Lord, you're not good enough. You're not good enough to meet my standards, to satisfy my tastes. Amen. The God of this universe subjected himself to being rejected on a daily basis. I don't know if any of you have experienced rejection, but it doesn't feel good. Yet every single day, he subjects himself to our rejection. The God of this universe subjects himself to people saying, you're not good enough. You can't meet my needs. You can't. That's what he has opened himself up to. Isaiah 53 and 3 says, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Esteemed him not means we turned our backs on him and we looked the other way. He was despised and we didn't care. You might say, when did I turn my back on Jesus and when did I despise him? When we operate in unbelief, that's when we despise him. Because once again, we're saying, Lord, you're not good enough. The absence of faith is how we despise him. When we fail to trust him with our everyday problems and challenges and sicknesses, we are telling him, you're not good enough to satisfy my needs. You're not good enough to meet my standards. So we have to be very careful that we don't approach him in unbelief. Disbelief is an inability or a refusal to accept that something is true or real. When we come before him with disbelief, we're saying, Lord, I don't really believe that you can do this. Amen. People will go to hell, like I said, not only for the bad deeds that they've done, but because they rejected him, because they rejected him, the only solution. And John 3:36, it says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. I don't want to see his wrath. Amen. But Hebrews 11 and 6 said, he is a rewarder of him that diligently seeks him. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You must first believe that he is everything that he says he is. Amen? Amen. James 2 and 19 says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So it's not only believing. But your faith, if it's not dead faith, should enact a response. Amen? It's not enough just to say you believe. When Abraham was told to get up and go to another city, he didn't just say, okay, Lord, I believe you said that. What did he do? He got up and he went. Amen? So our faith enacts a response. In Matthew 13:57, it talks about how when Jesus went to a town, and it says that, and when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in the synagogue, and so much that they were astonished and said, "Whence had this man this wisdom and doing these mighty works? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then had this man all these things?" But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. They were offended at Jesus for what he did. Amen? And unbelief limits God. Once again, he's chosen to limit himself. If you don't really believe, it limits him. Amen? And so we must approach him believing that he is all that he said he is, and that he can do all that he said he can do. Amen. And I kind of titled this thing, "Choice is a Matter of the Heart." Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What are you desiring? Isn't it funny that if the brakes on your car start to squeak, or you see a leak somewhere or something, you automatically go and fix it? But when we find ourselves doubting and slipping into unbelief or not responding the way we ought to respond, we just push it away. We don't pay it any attention. But I say unto you, if you're finding that is slipping into your life, just like you would pay attention to a squeaking brakes on your car or pain or something like that, we need to pay attention to our spiritual life, our spiritual walk. If you find that you're doubting God, if you find that you're not at that place where, "Lord, I believe you can do all that you say you can do," we need to pay attention to that. And we need to know that choosing to believe, it's a choice. As I said, you're saying to God, when you make that choice, "I believe you are everything you said you are. I believe your word can do everything it says it can do." And so we have to choose on a daily basis. And I've kind of put down some choices here. We have to choose to trust and lean not to your own understanding. This is something that, you know, I talk to myself. I talk to myself sometimes. I do. When I find I'm doubting, when I find I'm not responding the way I should, I talk to myself. And in the Psalms, David said, "Oh soul, why art thou disquieted with him?" He talked to himself. He said, "You know, what's wrong with you?" And there's nothing wrong with doing that. Amen. Amen. And so, once again, Proverbs 3:5-6, "Lean not to your own understanding." Trust in him with your whole heart. When you find you're not doing that, pay attention to that. Pay attention to that. Choose to bring every thought unto the obedience of Christ. If you can pull up 2 Corinthians 10:5, let me see if I can quote that. It says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ until your obedience is fulfilled." I think that's what it says. Amen? And we have that power. We have that power to talk to ourselves. As Pastor said, when he was driving in last Sunday, that thought popped into his head. He said, "What?" He cast that thing down. We do not have to allow Satan to occupy our minds in any form or fashion. He does not have the authority. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's what it says. Christ dwells within us. He is the one that should be feeding our thoughts. And so we have the power to cast down imaginations. You know, there's a saying that says that birds are going to fly over your head, but you can stop them building a nest there. Amen? Amen? You don't have to allow them to dwell there. They have no right to being there. Your temple is holy. No impure thoughts have a right to dwell in your mind. Amen? So we can cast down imaginations using the word of God and even just saying it. You know, you have that authority. Philippians 4, "Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are just, if there be any good report, then you dwell on those things." You have that authority to do that. We can choose to get up when we fall down. Amen? That's a choice. It is a choice. Amen? No one said that you're not going to fall or make a mistake, but you can either sit down there and wallow, or you can get up and say, "Lord Jesus, I can do all things through you who strengthens me." Amen. We can choose to move forward. Isaiah 43, and we sang that song, you know, it's a choice. All of these things are choices that we can choose. In Isaiah, I believe it is, it says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. We can choose to know that God is doing a new thing. And this year, I'm expecting new things. I'm not expecting the old. I'm not going to tolerate the old. Amen? I'm expecting new things. There's been several prophecies that have gone forward. I believe at a prayer meeting in Racine, talking about the abundance of rain. How many want that? I want that abundance of rain. Yes, COVID has been rampant. Yes, you know, sin is all around us. But it says where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Amen? And so I'm looking for the Lord to do some really great things here at Rehoboth. And I'm not going to put up with the old. Amen? I'm looking for the Lord to do new things. Amen? 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 And, you know, I'll get to that at the end. But we can choose to forsake evil. And just, I think somebody posted that today, and it kind of confirmed my message. And it said, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice that you have the ability to make, that God has given you. We can choose to forgive. And you can choose not to forgive. And it'll hurt you more than it does the other person. Amen? And as in Matthew 6 and 12, it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Psalms 37, 8 and 8 says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Amen? That's a choice. We can choose to humble ourselves. James 4 and 10 says, humble yourself in the sight of God and he shall lift you up. Amen? We can choose to be patient and rest in the Lord. Psalms 37 and 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Sometimes we look around us and we know some people aren't doing right, yet they seem to be doing fine. Don't worry, God is taking care of it. Amen. If not in this life, in the life to come. That's not our business. Our choice is to rest in the Lord and to trust him that he is in control. We can choose to walk in love. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, 7, that love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Amen? That's not easy. Can't do it without the Holy Ghost. Amen? But we can choose to walk in love. We can choose, again, I said, to walk in rest, ceasing from our own efforts. And that's another thing that God wants us to do. He wants us to walk in rest. And that is the only work, I think, one of the main works that he requires of us. You know, we our faith should produce works, but we don't work to earn his righteousness. We don't work to earn his approval. Our works flow out of our love for him. Okay, so that's a fight. It's a fight to stay in that rest. It's a fight to stay in faith. But that's what he requires of us, amen? And sometimes we're trying so hard to do this and do that and... But no, he says, I want you to stay in rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And he wants us to walk in rest. In other words, that's part of casting down those imaginations. It's forgiving. It's walking in love. It's not allowing bitterness or anything else to override us. And that is effort. That takes an effort to do that. But that's the work that he requires of us. Amen. I want to go on now. It says... God desires the very best for us, and he wants to bless us. I don't know if you can pull up, Brother Jordan, if you can pull up Deuteronomy 28 for me, please. I know this is Old Testament, but this, you know, this is just what the Lord is saying to us. If you choose me, this is what I want to do for you. In Deuteronomy 28, it's the blessings and the cursings, okay? The cursings are not nice. Amen. I would rather have his blessings. But once again, when we willingly choose him, these are the things that he has promised that he wants to do for us. And I just want to take a little time to read that. Okay. He's promised in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 2. He says, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken, if thou shalt listen unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, your children, and the fruit of thy ground, whatever you put your hands to do, your businesses, whatever you put your hands to do, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, which is thy cows, and the flocks of thy sheep. In other words, our livelihood, our jobs. He's going to bless that. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store, your savings, whatever your... He's going to bless it. You know, sometimes we can work so hard and it seems like our basket's got holes in it. What am I working for? But he says, I'm going to bless it so that you have enough for yourself and your family and to give. He's going to put his hand of blessing if you will choose him. He said, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. There's another verse in Psalms that says, you shall make thy enemies thy footstool. Yep. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven. Has anyone ever had that happen without lifting up a hand? Have you ever had that happen? Instead of you reacting, you just humbled yourself and you prayed and you don't see him anymore. Yep. Yes, 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 yes. I've seen it, especially with Bishop Brownie. And that's what the Lord has promised that he will do for us. Amen. Many times I've had people rise up against us and it hasn't gone well for them. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses in all that thou settest thine hand to do, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. And we have the name, amen. And they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after the other gods to serve them. The Lord will establish you. The Lord will make you strong. The Lord, when the storms of life come, you're not going to be like those people that don't know what to do, wringing their hands. You are going to be able to stand firm if you will choose him. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I look around, you know, God does not want us to be entangled with politics, with the cares of life. And yes, we have to occupy until he comes. Yes, we have to live until he comes. But if those cares of life are causing you to lose your peace, if they're causing you to put other things before him, that's not his plan for your life. Amen. And I look around and I see all the evil that's going on, and I say, Lord Jesus, always on the news you're hearing someone's been shot, this person's had a robbery, and I say, Lord, can your love really conquer all of this? And I've often questioned that, but then I remember that it was love that drove him to the cross. Amen. I'll see if I can find that. Yeah, kind of missed it. It was his love that drove him to the cross. It's his love that kept him on the cross. It's his love that sent him to the grave. And I love this scripture when it says, 1 Corinthians 15:55, he says, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? He led captivity captive. That love is enough to conquer anything that we face. Amen. And it might come across to the world as weak, but no, that love is so powerful. And it will overcome any evil. And we have to remember that we have to walk in love. It's so easy to want to react. It's so easy to want to take things into our own hands. You hear the sirens going off now. Walk in his love. Trust that he is more powerful than anything that you could ever face. Amen. And this is why, you know, we are going to give him our dominion. This is why we're going to walk in his ways. This is why we're going to love him with our whole heart. Because one day, he said, the wolf also, and I read this scripture this morning, Isaiah 11:6, and I was just imagining, Can you imagine a lion lying down with a lamb? Can you imagine that? My Lord, that lion had torn that thing to shreds in a second, amen? Can you imagine the leopard shall lie down with the kid? This is Isaiah 11:6. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a cow and the bear feeding together? Can you imagine that young ones shall lie down together and the lion shall eat straw like an ox? Can you imagine that the suckling shall play on the hole of a cobra and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den? They shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain, for all the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters shall cover the sea. It's going to happen, saints. It's going to happen, saints. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's what keeps me. That's what keeps me trusting him. That's what keeps me saying, Lord, sometimes I just want to do things my way, but I'm not going to do that because you've promised that one day the whole earth is going to be filled with your knowledge. Sometimes you witness to people and you say, oh, what's the use? They promise they're going to come and they don't turn up. And you know, but you know what? We're going to keep on sowing. We're going to keep on planting. And we're going to keep on doing what he's called us to do. And we're going to leave the rest to him. And we're going to have the joy of the Lord, and it's going to be our strength. And we're going to be light, salt and light in this earth. And we're not going to be bogged down with the cares of life. Amen? We are the only Jesus that this world is going to see. And if we are all cast down and miserable, how will they know that Jesus is real? How will they know that in the midst of a storm you can stand and you can smile and you can praise him? How will they know? That's what is going to draw the world to him. Because he is the only answer. He is the only way. Amen? And I don't know how the world makes it without him. Maybe that's why you have so many people on drugs and whatever. I don't know how they do it. I don't know where I'd be if I didn't have him to call on, to cry out to, that I can bear my soul to. I don't have to hide anything from him. And that's why I want to tell others about him, because they need to know him just like we know him. They need to choose him just like we chose him. Amen? So I just want to encourage you tonight. Choose to serve him every single day. It's not a one-time thing, but it's an every hour thing, every minute thing, amen? And his word is true, and we can expect one day that the whole earth will be filled with his knowledge, amen? Hallelujah, that the lion shall lie down with the lamb. Hallelujah, that we shall see him face to face one of these days. And I just want to encourage you tonight to hold on, to be encouraged, and to expect good things this year, new things this year, amen? He is faithful, he is true, and we can lean on him and we can trust in him. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Amen.